It's Christmas.
And on this morning on Wake Up With Hope, we're talking about a special Christmas truce.
Plus, we're going into the kitchen with the healthy foodie. We have music and more.
Join us.
Good morning and happy Wednesday and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. You know, it's a brand new day and a new opportunity to start fresh. Yesterday's gone and a new day is now here.
And it's also Christmas, friends, and many people around the world are remembering that day long ago when a meek and humble baby was born in a manger. He was the Savior of the world, Jesus.
Amen. He was the one who left heaven where he was adored and worshipped by angels to come to this world filled with sin, sadness, crime, and disease. He came to live among us. He came to carry our burdens, our trials, our disappointments, and our sins.
And it was that little baby that grew up and showed us how to live a life dependent on God. He also showed us how loving God the Father is. And by example, Jesus showed us how to live a godly life and what it means to be kind, loving, caring, and compassionate.
And best of all, he showed us just how much we are loved through the story of his birth. We remember that we have hope. Hope as we trust and follow Jesus. What an amazingly beautiful thought. Talking about beautiful, we're sharing about a beautiful Christmas truce right now as we take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1914, just after midnight on Christmas morning during World War I, a remarkable event occurred as most German troops ceased their gunfire and artillery to sing Christmas carols. Along both the Eastern and Western fronts, soldiers from Russia, France, and Britain could hear the Germans' joyful singing, accompanied by brass bands, adding to the festive atmosphere.
Can you imagine the joy and peace, friends? War stopped between two rivals because of the momentous event being celebrated around the world, the commemoration of the birth of our Savior. This is the power of the gospel. It brings peace. It brings unity and love to the hearts of those who accept it. And today, how can you encourage someone else with the gospel? Share the good news of our salvation being made possible by our Savior and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And let that love shine in our hearts, in the hearts of others, as it brings us together.
Amen. Well, it is time to go into the kitchen now as the healthy foodie makes chocolate mousse pie. Why is it important to have Jesus at the center of your life? Find out on today's episode of Masterstroke.
The Raising of Lazarus was painted by Vincent van Gogh in 1890. Here we have Mary with her arms out wide with shock and excitement. She can't believe it. Martha is much more reserved. But in a curious twist, van Gogh has painted himself as Lazarus. See these ginger whiskers? Here he is coming up from the tomb. Why? Well, Vincent van Gogh had a life of turmoil. He felt like a failure at everything. He only sold one painting in his whole life. He said he hoped for the day when his paintings would be worth more than the paint tubes he painted them from. His depression reached such horrendous levels that one day he walked out into an open wheat field and he shot himself, dead at the age of 37. When I look into this painting, I feel he painted himself as Lazarus because he longed to be raised from the living death that had engulfed him. But then I began to have questions. Something's wrong with this painting. Something's missing. Then it struck me. Vincent van Gogh had painted the raising of Lazarus, but he left Jesus out of the picture. I find it tragic and telling that van Gogh said, "I can very well do without God, both in my life and in my painting." Van Gogh based this work on that of Rembrandt. So what did Rembrandt's Lazarus look like? In this Rembrandt, we see Mary with exactly the same pose. But there's one glaring difference between the two paintings, and sadly, between the two artists. Rembrandt placed Jesus right in the heart of his painting, but Van Gogh cropped him out. The Bible says, "Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life." The key message for all of us going through a tough time is this. Whoever has Jesus has everything. Whoever doesn't have Jesus has nothing.
Are you enjoying today's program? Don't forget to share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more and search for us on YouTube to check out our channel and keep up with us there.
When we return, the Collingsworth family will bless us in song. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. We pray our program will fill your day with happiness and love.
As we think about Jesus' birth and first coming to this earth, may we also remember that soon and very soon, He is coming again to take us home to be with Him in heaven. Let's meditate on this thought as the Collingsworth family sings, "We shall behold Him, the King is coming." Follow the lyrics on the screen and sing along with us.
If you're enjoying today's program, be sure to share with your friends. They can visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup. So stay with us. Pastor John Bradshaw from It Is Written will be joining us after the break to share today's devotional thought.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope.
John Bradshaw from It Is Written is with us here today to share a devotional thought.
It is great to be with you today. I hope your day is going well. I hope that you're able to look into the future with some positivity. I trust that you're able to say there is a God in heaven and He's got my back and He has my best interests at heart. I hope you can say I'm going to trust Him today and allow Him to lead my life, lead me to the left or to the right, but lead me in His direction. I hope that you're looking forward positively. You have every reason to be able to do so. Now, this was interesting. In 2019, scientists from Harvard said that we had been visited by an interstellar visitor, something, an object from outside our solar system. Said it was the first time this had ever happened. Oh, they were so excited. The scientists were just so excited. So here's what they did. They picked up signals, you see, from a monitoring station in Papua New Guinea. And they said that signal indicates that a meteor or meteorite, one or the other, has come into our solar system from way out there outside our solar system. So they started dragging nets of some kind across the ocean floor near Papua New Guinea, because wouldn't it have been so exciting to be able to find pieces of this interstellar visitor? We can both imagine that it would have been tremendously exciting. Yeah, but no. Researchers from Johns Hopkins University stated later that what the monitoring station in Papua New Guinea had picked up was not the sound of a foreign object, an interstellar visitor entering our solar system or our atmosphere. It was instead the signals they received came from a truck, the rumbling of a truck that drove past the monitoring station. The seismograph picked up the rumblings of a truck, and scientists misinterpreted that for a once-in-a-lifetime event. Look, I understand scientists can make mistakes. Doctors can, architects can, lawyers can. You think lawyers can? Probably lawyers can. Teachers can, preachers can, preachers sure can. This one was a doozy though. Here was a big, big deal thing that happened. Of course, the scientists are looking for evidences of the origin of life. They're talking about how we got here in the first place. Hey, can I suggest that we save a lot of time, effort, and money? Instead of trying to establish beyond a shadow of a doubt that a big bang occurred and that's how the universe came into existence, how about we read and believe the Bible story? Now, I know it's out of vogue with some people because it's kind of old-fashioned. It was good enough for us as human beings for thousands of years, but in the last couple of hundred years, we've slowly but then rather rapidly edged away from the creation story. It still says in Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's what the Bible says. I've not yet ever come close to finding an origins theory that even approximates the simplicity and the sensibility and the rationality and the plausibility and the believability of what the Bible says. Now, here's the challenge. It's not that the science doesn't back up the creation story. Hang on a second. Let's talk about science. The biology teacher is going to teach you on day one, depending on what grade you're in, that life does not and cannot come from non-life. We got that? That's a rule which we suspend when we start talking about evolution. Where did life come from? But that breaks the rules. Then, somehow, living matter formed, a single cell thing, And then what happened? Well, it became 2 cells, then 4 cells, 8 cells, 16 cells. And then eventually it grew a nose and arms and legs and a tail and feathers and scales and so forth. You do know how that is supposed to happen, right? Mutations. Evolution isn't anything without mutations. Now, we recognize today mutations to be mostly harmful. A fish with 2 heads, a lamb with 5 feet, something like that. Harmful. We don't see mutations that, oh, look at that. That's really good. That lamb with 5 feet can run super fast now. Now let's breed 5-footed lambs. No, we don't do that. Mutations are harmful. We recognize them as such. Now, could there be microevolution, which I would call adaptation? Oh, 100%. Certainly there could. But that doesn't require any new information from the existing genetic code. It just draws on what's already there, you see. Mutations. Someone says, yeah, this Luddite doesn't know what he's talking about, because given enough time, anything's possible. You really believe that? Given enough time, life will come from non-life. I understand what's happened. Academia is filled up with people who believe the evolutionary theory, and it's just a theory. And it's become commonplace to frown on people who believe the Bible. And honestly, let's be honestly, evolution isn't really pro-science as much as it is anti-God. Let's just be honestly about that. It's not pro-science as much as it is anti-God. Because if you recognize there's a creation story, then you recognize that there's a creator. And if you've recognized that there's a creator, then you are answerable to that creator. And I'm okay with that. You know why? Because I have a creator, not a cosmic cop, not a bully, not a tyrant, a creator. Don't get me wrong when I say this. My wife and I created our children. Understand what I mean when I say that? It was through our interactions that our children came into the world. I love my children. I only want the best for my children. God actually, literally created you, me. That means He wants the best for you. And what God is trying to get through the hardened head of the world is that beyond this world, there is a world to come. If only we would have faith in God. You want to know why the devil presses so hard against creation? Because if you believe creation, then you're going to believe that there is a God of love, and you'll have no time for the devil, and you won't be deceived. John wrote, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That's John 1:1-2. And then it says, all things were made by Him. That's just the truth. It's just the truth. All things were made by Jesus. You know why evolution has to be promoted? The devil had to do it. You know why? Because of what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Paul writes that if you've got the ability to look up at the sky, you're looking at God's handiwork. If you've got the ability to look down or look at a tree or a butterfly or a kitten or another person, you are seeing evidence that God is the great creator. Big respect for science. But science that's real science will support the Bible and won't lead you up a primrose path of denying God as creator. Have a great day. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor John.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope and spending your morning with us. We enjoyed our time together.
And don't forget to join us tomorrow. We'll be featuring a segment on finding our gifts and talents, sharing another Grace Points episode, and Dr. John Peckham will continue his series on knowing God.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, friends, that's hope.study. We are sure our free Bible studies will be such a blessing to you.
And we can't leave without sharing our daily Bible promise. And today's promise comes from Psalm chapter 49, verse 15.
It says, "But God will redeem me from the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to Himself."
Amen. God will surely redeem us from this earth. He has promised to send Jesus to take us home, and we will follow Him. And as we do, a promise is a promise, and we can count on that.
Amen. Friends, we pray that you've begun this day with a smile and a heart full of gratitude. May the Lord bless you most abundantly. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Stay happy and blessed.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much that today we get to rejoice that we have a Savior that was born among us. And we ask that you would fill our hearts and our families, every home, with joy and peace. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.